Chapter 10 Miss Murdstone's Revenge. All this time I couldn't stop thinking about Dora. When Mr. Spenlow invited me to a picnic for her birthday, I was delighted and counted the days until the day of the picnic arrived. On that day, I brought Dora flowers. Miss Murdstone wasn't with Dora that day. She had a new companion, Miss Mills, who encouraged our friendship. At the end of the day, Miss Mills said to me, "Dora is coming to stay with me in London the day after tomorrow. If you like, you are welcome to visit her." 2 days later, I called on Dora at the home of Miss Mills. We spent time together alone. Somehow I found the courage to tell Dora how much I loved her, and she told me that she felt the same way about me. I was overjoyed. We became engaged that very evening. We decided, however, to wait a while before we told Dora's father. I wrote to Agnes to tell her the splendid news about Dora and myself, as well as the sad news from Yarmouth. A few days later, my aunt and Mr. Dick appeared unexpectedly at my lodgings. "Aunt! Mr. Dick! What a pleasant surprise!" I exclaimed. "I'm afraid it's not so pleasant," my aunt replied. We had tea, and she told me the whole story. "I'm sorry, Trotwood, but I am ruined. Apart from my house, which I have rented out, I have nothing in the world. You see, I realized that Mr. Wickfield is not the man he once was. He stopped giving me good advice, and now I have lost all my money. I have nowhere to live. So Mr. Dick and I have come to stay with you." I didn't know what to do. I told Aunt Betsy about my engagement, but I realized that my circumstances had now changed. I wondered how I could help my aunt. Perhaps if I left my job, Mr. Spenlow would agree to return the £1,000 that my aunt had paid him. Unfortunately, when I asked him the next day, he refused. Now what was I going to do? I was certain he wouldn't permit his daughter to marry a man with no money. When I arrived at my lodgings that evening, I saw a familiar figure. It was Agnes. Her father and Uriah Heep had told her about my aunt's financial difficulties, and she had come to comfort my aunt. I told Agnes that I must find an extra job. Agnes mentioned that Dr. Strong, my former headmaster, had retired from teaching and moved to London. He wanted to publish a dictionary and was looking for an assistant. I decided to speak to him as soon as possible. I asked Agnes about Uriah Heep. "Uriah and my father are here in London with me," Agnes said. "Uriah has moved into our house with his mother, and he has a very strong influence over my father. In fact, I think that he is trying to come between my father and me." Just then there was a knock at the door, and Mr. Wickfield entered, accompanied by Uriah Heep. Mr. Wickfield was different. His eyes were red and his hands trembled noticeably. It was obvious that Heap had considerable power over him.
"I'm sorry to hear of your unfortunate situation," said Heap. "However, as the saying goes, money is not the only thing in life."
Clearly, Heap was enjoying the situation very much. The following day I went to see Dr. Strong and explained that I needed extra work in addition to my job as a proctor. Dr. Strong was very pleased and offered me £70 a year to work for him mornings and evenings. I knew it would be hard, but I had to earn enough money to marry Dora. At this time Mr. Micawber told me he was leaving London and going to Canterbury to work as Uriah Heep's personal assistant. I was surprised, but Mr. Micawber and his wife were both very pleased. Life had become crowded in my lodgings since my aunt and Mr. Dick had moved in, but my aunt looked after me devotedly, as if she were my mother. I knew I must eventually tell Dora the truth about my financial situation, and one day I visited her. "Dora, I've got something to tell you," I said. "I haven't got any money."
"Don't be so silly, David," she laughed.
"No, it's true. I am ruined," I confessed. When she realized I was telling the truth, she began to cry. "Do you still love me?" I asked her.
"Of course I do."
"And shall we still get married?"
"Yes, we shall," Dora declared.
One day, Mr. Spenlow called me into his office. To my surprise, Miss Murdstone was with him. Mr. Spenlow had a bundle of letters tied with a blue ribbon in his hand.
"Is this your writing, Mr. Copperfield?" he asked.
He showed me a letter I had written to Dora.
"Yes, it is," I answered. "And did you write these?" he asked, pointing at some other letters.
"Yes, sir, I did." These were letters which I had secretly sent to Miss Mills for Dora, and I wondered how Miss Murdstone had found them.
"I have suspected for a long time that something has been going on between Mr. Copperfield and Miss Dora," Miss Murdstone said. "I had hoped that I was wrong. However, one day I found Miss Dora's dog with these letters in his mouth. I felt it was my duty to read them and to inform Mr. Spenlow of what was written in them. I only did this for Dora. She is very young and needs protection from people like Mr. Copperfield." Of course, Miss Murdstone was not trying to protect Dora. She was trying to harm me. It was obvious that she was enjoying this moment very much.
"You did very well, Miss Murdstone," answered Mr. Spenlow. "Mr. Copperfield, I am shocked."
"It's all my fault, sir," I said, trying to protect Dora. "Your daughter did not want to hide anything from you."
"All contact between you and my daughter must end immediately," Mr. Spenlow insisted. "You know that I am a rich man and that my daughter will inherit everything I own. I am also aware of your financial situation, which might explain your interest in my daughter. You must not see my daughter again. If you do not agree, I will send her to study abroad." The next morning I was very upset, but went to work as usual. As soon as I entered the offices, I knew that something was wrong.
"What's happened?" I asked.
"Haven't you heard?" replied a clerk. "Mr. Spenlow is dead."
"Dead? Mr. Spenlow? How did that happen?" I gasped.
"He fell from his carriage on his way home last night."
I was shocked. I immediately thought about my poor Dora. How terrible she must feel.